Welcome back to the Visionary Rising podcast. Today's episode is all about paid traffic, specifically through Instagram and Facebook ads. To discuss this topic, I've invited Melissa Litchfield, who is the founder of Litchfield Media, an advertising agency that specializes in paid ads, to discuss. This is such a deep and complex topic. I can't wait to get into it. Melissa is sharing her journey through the online marketing space, which went from using social media to grow her first foray into business to working at an agency that boasted clients like Amy Porterfield and Gabby Bernstein to running her own successful digital marketing agency. She's answering questions about the steps for educators, coaches, and entrepreneurs to get started with paid advertising and the little mistakes that you don't want to miss in order to get the most out of it. We're also talking about whether or not a solid organic strategy is necessary to have success with paid ads, as well as talking about some of the key metrics and when you know you're ready to invest. Melissa also gives some practical advice about optimizing your ads for lead generation versus conversions, as well as the benefits of using technology like ManyChat and where to start if you want to keep it really simple. In this episode, you're going to learn the best practices for leveraging paid ads to grow your business, grow your audience, increase revenue, and sustain your business into 2024. So if you have been curious about paid ads and what that can look like for your business, you don't want to miss this episode. Let's get into it. Welcome to The Visionary Rising, the podcast for freedom-seeking, heart-led creative entrepreneurs, course creators, and online business owners. I'm Jody Brown, marketing-obsessed hairstylist turned content creation agency owner and visibility mentor, and I'm here to help you build your magnetic brand, grow your audience, and become the authority in your space. You'll get the most up-to-date conversations and strategies on visibility, marketing, social media, mindset, and entrepreneurship so that you can grow your business in a way that feels as good as it looks. Here, we keep it real and go beyond the basics. I'm obsessed with helping creatives get seen and heard and paid well for their work. Beyond a podcast, this is a movement. Welcome to The Visionary Rising. Hi, Melissa. I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for sharing your time and your knowledge with me and my listeners today.
Yes, thanks so much for having me, Jody. I'm excited to chat.
Before we get into talking about what is really working in terms of paid advertising in 2024, can you just give a little bit of a background of just your journey in the online space?
Yes, and specifically for clients. I will be 100% honest. I don't always run ads for my business. So I'm a military wife. I'll start there because I have moved around quite a bit. So story starts in New Orleans. After I got my master's degree, I got a big girl job in New Orleans, downtown, working for a nonprofit. I love just being downtown and being close to everything. The actual work itself was like, it was just so draining. It just felt like I wasn't really making a difference. I was working in like health policy and it was on that basically like the BP oil spill. And it was all this like medical settlement money that like we had to distribute throughout the Gulf Coast. I was a program coordinator. I was not super happy with that. I basically wanted to go all in on an MLM business that I was doing. So it was like a Beachbody coach. And I was like, let me try it out. It sounds so amazing working for myself. I dabbled in that for a little bit and I really could not see the six figures that people were promising. I hit that point and I was like, well, I'm not making six figures. I'm barely making enough to like basically say like, oh, this is worth it. Around that time too, me and my husband were thinking about getting pregnant. So I ended up getting pregnant and I was still getting Beachbody on the side, but I purchased a Facebook ads course and I wanted to learn how to run ads like for my own business. Back then, it was just Facebook likes for pages. Instagram wasn't even a thing. Like Instagram, like Meta hadn't bought Instagram yet. So you could only do ads on Facebook. So I think I grew my Facebook page to 12,000 likes, which is a lot back then. That was a lot. I think I had a couple different videos running. So I was getting likes for pennies or something like that. I was going live. I did attract a very niche audience of moms since I was pregnant and I was sharing all the things. But yeah, during that time, I fell into digital marketing, if that makes sense. Yep. So people knew me as the social media girl. Melissa, she knows everything about Instagram. Go ask Melissa. So I just became known for social media. So once I had Maddie, I love this like brand. It was like a baby spoon brand. It was called, and they just so happened to be out of Pensacola. That's where they started their business. So I ended up reaching out to them and I was like, hey, we'd love to do a guest collab or like a guest post on there. I'd love to share recipes because I'm big into nutrition and fitness. So they hired me and I started running ads for them. So that's like my first side hustle client. Obviously, I wasn't making a ton of money, but I realized, okay, I just need to go back to the workforce. Like, I just need a job. So I got a remote job working for a marketing agency, and we had some really big clientele. Yes. Gabby Bernstein was a client. Amy Porterfield was a client. So I got to see behind the scenes of what happened during launches, which was this like new world of like digital marketing. Like, I always followed Amy Porterfield and knew what a webinar was, but like, I truly didn't really know until I got immersed into it. That was my first taste of launching and ads for launches and courses and all the things. Honestly, that job was a soul sucking job. I was working 14, 15 hour days. I told myself, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go all in, right? If I'm going to leave this job and start my own thing, I'm going to go all in. And that's what I did. So that was 2019. And by the end of that next year, COVID hit. And that's really what my agency took off. I really became an agency that year because I hired a full-time person. I hit multiple six figures in revenues. I was like, okay, this is, we're doing this. It's happening. And now we're here. 5 years later, we're still here. Still here.
I love that. I think a lot of people who are listening can relate to like almost falling in. There's so many things that have to happen in order for you to get to this specific job. And I think so many people come into coaching or education or the online space like that. That's exactly what happened to me. I fell in love more with the marketing side and the branding and all of the things that I was doing to grow my business. And then that kind of just took off and became a business in and of itself. And I think that's something that I hear from people all the time is that it's either a personal experience where people then started asking about it, or it was a course they took to grow something else at the time. So it's like how you took an ads course to grow your online business at the time. And then that turned into a full-time agency a couple years later. It's really cool how these skills that we acquire along the way end up being the thing that we fall in love with. And I think that's the importance of diving into things and following those interests. And that's what allows us to discover our purpose, I think, and the things that we're really good at. So I love that you shared that piece. So with the ads that you're running, I want to come back to something you said earlier on that you don't necessarily run ads a whole ton for your business. And by that, I think you mean your agency, right? Like the done for you services that you do. Maybe we could start there. What are the kinds of businesses that should definitely be thinking about running ads? And what are maybe businesses that wouldn't benefit as much? Like, can you talk us through a little bit more about who you think should really always focus on having a paid ad strategy and which businesses it's more optional in?
Yeah, I guess it comes down to how long have you been in business, because it does come down to revenue. Like, you need to have some sort of ad budget. If you're not making any revenue in your business yet, you're probably super green and you're too brand new. So I would say if you fall into that category, really focus and honing in on getting other people results before you attempt to run ads, start generating revenue, clients, like building up a clientele. If you're a digital course creator, then that still applies to you, right? Like, you need some testimonials, you need social proof. People are not going to buy from someone that they just heard of 5 seconds ago. Hopefully, if it's a course that is multiple hundreds of dollars, if not thousands, like they are now, you do have to build a foundation. And I tell all my clients this, like, the building that foundation is key and crucial first, before you start pushing any sort of paid traffic to your website or your funnels. And you also, it's good to know like some existing data already, right? And that will help project some estimated ad metrics that you can potentially see once you start running ads. So for example, that could be like your website conversion, right? So out of how many people that visited your website in the past month, how many people became a lead or how many people bought your product, if you're an e-commerce store, like you should know that. So we'll start there. There's so many factors, to be honest, that can contribute to if you are ready to run ads, because I know with e-commerce businesses, you need to make sure that your average order cart value is at this. And you want to make sure that your website's converting at 2% at least. Because if your product's priced really low, then you might not see a return from your ads. Like they're just not going to be profitable. There's a lot of factors involved for e-commerce stores. And then for, I want to say, let's just say for a brick and mortar, right? If you're a restaurant, paid ads is probably not going to be the best bet for you. You more than likely are going to probably see more exposure through like organic stuff. Look at all the like restaurants on TikTok. And that's not to say that ads don't work, but you kind of have to think about like budget. It all comes back to budget, right? Do you actually have the budget for ads? Or do you just need to get in front of more people, more eyeballs? Maybe that's like a Google ad versus a Meta ad, right? So yeah, it depends on the service industry. I really want to make sure that one, they have the budget. Two, they have some sort of product or service is proven. And then three, making sure that there's like tracking placed. So to make sure that your ads are actually getting tracked and where people are coming from and how many people are opting in. So that really comes back down to like your back end tech setup. So if you're not really tech savvy, then you may have to consider hiring a consultant or a professional to just help you get it set up and to teach you on, okay, what are the metrics that I need to be looking out for? How do I optimize this campaign?
I love that. That's a really great case breakdown. The thing that I would love to know too is when it comes to, we talked about conversions, all of those kinds of things. What are your thoughts on, and most of my listeners have education or coaching or some type of service. When it comes to ads, do you break down everything by conversions or do you have different goals that you would look at? For example, say someone's goal is to build an audience, like they are growing, but they're just wanting to get in front of more people. They're wanting to use paid ads to expedite the growth of a podcast, YouTube channel, their Instagram, or whatever that is. Do you think that is a valid strategy for ads in 2024? Or do you like to always tie it back to a monetary conversion?
Most of my clients that are obviously agency clients, they're more focused on revenue, right? Their goals are revenue driven for sure. Lead and revenue driven goals, they kind of tie into each other too. Like you do need the leads. You do need to grow your audience in order to see, you know, an influx of sales when you do live launch.
When you run ads and specifically speaking about like different ad objectives in Meta, it's like traffic ads, it's conversion ads. There's all of these different strategies in terms of ads. Is there different kind of outcomes for each ad or do you like to base every outcome on revenue?
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, so we do a mix for each client. It depends on their goals, obviously. Like you said, there are campaign ad objectives in Meta that you can pick based on like your end result that you want to see from the ad. So for example, if you wanted to see people opting into a lead magnet, you wouldn't pick traffic, although everyone does. It's like the default. If you don't know which one to pick, everyone kind of picks traffic. So what you're telling Meta at that point is, okay, I want you to find people that are going to perform a click, not necessarily may not opt in, or you may not get the best results from that type of campaign if you are really looking for people to opt into something and exchange their information, right? Then that's considered a lead objective. So you just want to make sure you pick the right objective for purchases. It's sales, right? If you wanted to drive people to buy something once they hit a page or a website, you want to make sure you pick purchase. And then there's, I would say engagement is probably your third best bet. I typically do not use reach or traffic unless I'm trying to get more eyeballs on an existing purchase campaign. That's when I'll duplicate the campaign and change the objective and optimize for traffic. That just helps get it spending and get it in front of more people. Engagement campaigns are great. And just started a couple of those this week for a couple clients. I was doing a bunch of campaigns for like podcast and like just running a traffic campaign straight to the website, because I don't know if it, or maybe your audience doesn't know, but like once you send people to a third party site or an app, Apple Podcasts, there is no way to track. There's just literally no way to track. Apple wants you to run ads on their platform. So they're not going to let you run ads from Meta to the podcast app. So it's not like the best indication of how many downloads or how many new subscribers did I get to my podcast, but you can at least send them to your website. And that's like a piece of internet property that you own, right? So at right. least you can retarget those people that go to the website. So instead of the podcast thing, I'm just switching a lot of my clients right now to just do engagement campaigns because they already do create all this content, right? On social media, especially Reels. So what you can do is set up an engagement campaign and then select the optimization to just be engagement on the actual ad. You can put money behind existing content that is on your feed. And then it's just a matter of placement, right? Do you want this only showing on Reels and stories? And I feel like that's like the default now, right? That's where mostly everybody is anyways. Yeah. So it does depend on the client and their goals. But again, you could have a mixture of different campaigns running at the same time. I think it's just up to the client and ultimately like what they want to see. But yeah, the goal for every client of mine is to increase reach and engagement on their Instagram profile because that's where most of my clients hang out. And that is just like a nice benefit, right? It's just like something that happens anyways when you start running ads. People do go to your Instagram profile. People do want to scope you out and be like, okay, who's Jody? Who's this girl? I've never heard of her before. Let me see the last time she posted. That's what I do. I click on the ad. I'll be like, when's the last time they posted? Let me see how consistent they are. Right?
I was just going to say that actually. Do you find that the clients of yours that get the best results with ads also have an organic strategy?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. And it goes hand in hand, right? Because all of that organic marketing and work that you're doing on the actual app, like sending DMs and saving posts and watching videos and visiting people's profiles, that is all data that Meta collects and it feeds directly right back into your custom audiences, which you can utilize in your own ads. So it is a good idea to really hone in on your organic efforts because they do pay off when it comes to running ads.
100%. I definitely find that to be the case. And so it's interesting. That's something that you've definitely seen in your work as well. So if you're someone who's listening right now, and maybe you're doing all the things on social media, you're ready to maybe scale it a little bit, but like you don't have a huge budget to begin with, where do you think the best place you can spend your money is when it comes to ads? For example, would it be promoting a lead magnet that funnels into one of your offers? Would it be doing a straight to the sales page for a low ticket offer? Like what is performing? Would it be maybe story ads that hook up to like a mini chat flow or a lead ad on Facebook? Where do you think the best bang for your buck is if you don't have a huge budget in 2024?
I mean, definitely if you have the capacity to learn mini chat and set up an ad that way, 100%, because then you could grow your list a lot easily. I think the conversion rate, I have tested this myself organically using a DM automation versus just sharing the link. People are lazy nowadays. Yeah. They know what it is. People don't want to go link in bio. They just want to get it sent to them. So totally. I split tested this myself because I was like, let me see if it truly does help conversions. And it does. I'm shocked to see, but yeah, it's a good like 20 to 30% increase in conversion rate.
That's interesting because I did actually release if you haven't yet listened, I did release an episode about DM automation, ManyChat organically. And I think that's really interesting to look at in terms of like making your paid ads go further too. So you would say then like doing a ManyChat flow to build your list and then nurturing before the sale would be where you would start at? Or would you have something on the back end of that flow to really start driving that revenue right away?
I would say, you could totally test a tripwire. I would say test it right after they opt in, or you can include it into your email nurture sequence as well. That will give you a good indication of like, okay, is it something that people actually want? You know, are at least 2 to 3% of leads buying the tripwire? If not, you probably need to change it. but that, I would look at the front end conversion too, right? Because if you're not, if you're getting like 30% or less of your organic audience opting into a freebie, I mean, I feel like that could definitely be improved because usually warm audiences convert at a higher rate versus cold. So if your warm audiences, they're not converting on that landing page above 30%. You have an issue. Maybe need to nurture them a little bit more. But yeah, I would say, honestly, like the best bet is just like a simple lead gen ad campaign. I feel like those are much less complicated and much less tech involved in terms of optimization and like looking at it daily and getting it set up Now you don't have to worry about like setting up ManyChat or like, it's just the funnel part. Cause like with ManyChat, you do need the funnel too. Just send them straight to your website, fill out the form, and then you can offer a tripwire after that or within the email sequence.
I love that. And do you find that landing pages convert, like say like a landing page versus a lead ad? So for anyone who doesn't know, a lead ad would be essentially they are able to fill it out on Facebook. So they don't have to go to your website. I had an interesting experience. I found that my leads were like, it was less on the lead ads, but they didn't convert the same. I'd love to get your input on that, about a direct lead ad on Facebook versus sending someone to a landing page.
Right. And there's only so much information you can put on a lead form in Meta. So that, I feel like that is also like hindering the type of quality leads that you can get to. There's a button to select for higher intent. So that's something that I tested myself most recently. I was running ads for my own lead magnet. They're off now. I was testing straight to a landing page first, and I was getting around the conversion rate was still like above 30%. I think it was like 32 or something, but the cost per lead was like $5 and it wasn't tracking for whatever reason. My account is the worst. My own ad account is the worst. For the life of me, I can't get it to track from like a form and a website. I had the same issues with the active campaign last year. So I switched to a lead form ad and I selected the higher intent option. And so we'll see how they convert, but they were significantly cheaper for sure. The lead form ad on Meta auto populates their information. So it's like, did they truly read what the heck they were opting into? Or are they just like, yes, I want that, you know, and it just fills out their information. It's like, bing, bing, boom. Versus sending them to the website, it's like, okay, you need to read the landing page. Like, is this something I want? Okay, I'll enter in my name and email. So there is pros and cons, right? So like you could get really crappy leads, but they're cheap.
Yeah.
Like, or really cheap leads, but like, they're crap because they don't convert. Right. Or you can spend a couple more dollars per lead and they do convert.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I love that you broke that down. And that's something I think is so important for anyone listening to, is when Melissa's talking about the landing page and the different conversion rates. Like, I did an episode not long ago about like not solving problems that you don't have. So like making sure to actually diagnose where the issue is coming in. Because if your landing page isn't converting, but then you're sending a ton of traffic to it, you're still not going to get a good result. So solving problems in the right order is really important when it comes to an organic strategy, a paid ad strategy, any of the things, because you want to look at each piece and see how it's doing individually to get a better picture. So I just want to underscore that, because you've said that the conversion rate a couple times. I think that's really important, no matter whether you're doing paid or organic strategy.
Yeah. And I think it comes down to data, right? And tracking the data. People don't do it. How many times I get on a call, like a sales call with somebody, and they want to run ads, and I'm asking them all these questions. They're like, oh, I wasn't tracking that. And I'm like, ooh, really need to get those numbers if they could find them, just so I can really still qualify the potential client to see if ads are a good fit. Because if you don't know those answers, then I can't necessarily say, okay, this is a good offer that is fit for ads. Yeah.
I didn't track certain things for the longest time either, because I think sometimes when you're starting a business, like there's so many things that you have to like get off the ground, and you're really focused on like creating your offer and like, you know, marketing it and figuring out how to serve your clients and like all of these different things. So I think it's completely understandable, but I'm really glad that you said that that's something that you need to really look at, because my next question is, where do you see people waste the most money when it comes to ads? Because I think that's when, if you don't have the data, then it's hard to say, is this paying off or not? What do you think is like one of the mistakes that you see that you're like, this is just a huge waste of money when it comes to ads?
Early on, I think when I was first starting my business, I hate to call this company out, but I saw an ad that Dubsado was running, and I went to their page and there was no pixel. I was like, this seems really odd. They weren't as big as they are now. This was like in 2019. So that is definitely a huge waste of money, because you can't track anything. Obviously, that's a big mistake. I would say money waster. Just like running an ad and not checking it. You know how many people, like they'll start an ad and then they won't even look at it. And then they'll check in on it and they're like, oh, I don't see anything that. And then they just wasted like $500.
Even things like the pixel. I feel like this is why if you're gonna run your own ads, it's really important to at least take a base level course, because Instagram makes it really easy for you to spend money, right? Like, that's their business model. It makes it super easy to like just boost posts and like, just go in and do whatever. It'll tell you a post got 4 more likes than usual. And it'll be like, this is performing so well. You should boost it. So I think that just even doing the fundamental, I remember doing an ads bootcamp, and then a lot of the memberships I've been a part of have had a really great ads component too, or I've taken like specific ads courses. And I think that those things are so important before you start spending money, because like, I didn't know what a pixel was before I got introduced to it. And for anyone that's listening that doesn't even know what a pixel is, that's how Facebook tracks whether or not your ads are performing. And like, it basically, that tracks the conversions. It also allows you to collect data, all of those things. So if you're listening right now and you're like, I don't even know what a pixel is, I'm not sure. I'd love to get your take on this, but I would say definitely take some sort of training on ads if you're going to attempt to run them yourself, because there's so many little things that you have to turn on in order to be able to even track this stuff.
Yeah, I would say too, like, hire a consultant and then they could probably set it up for you and also kind of show you where everything is located. I do have a YouTube channel and there's a bunch of tutorials on there now. So the one, there is a meta business manager tutorial as well, because I feel like no one knows how to set that up. Especially just working with so many one-on-one clients throughout the years. It is just so foreign to them, or they move things around, or something's hard to find, and no one has like a clear tutorial on like how to find that, like how to share your pixel with another ad agency, or how to share your business manager, or how to connect your Instagram account to the business manager. So there's a lot of moving pieces like before you even start that you want to make sure that. Yeah. You check out my YouTube. I have a ton of free tutorials and I just dropped one today on how to run your own story/real ad. So.
Ooh, I love that. I'll link that in the show notes. And then I just have one last question for you, Che. There has been a lot of talk in the online space about all of the changes over the past couple of years, but then also specifically moving into this year, the tracking has changed, the way you're able to track things with Apple and Google Analytics has updated, the biggest changes that have come and the biggest shifts people need to make with their strategy in order to keep up with those changes.
Yeah. Well, conversion API is very confusing. I would say hire an expert. Sure. I had learned Google Universal Analytics like right before a year or two before they changed it to GA4. So now I feel like I have to start all over again. But yeah, the server-based tracking is super confusing and everyone has a different setup. There are integrations, like Zapier has a direct integration for conversion API. WordPress I know has one. Shopify has one. So if you have one of those softwares, I would use the direct integration and it will just take you straight to, you'll click on it. It'll show you all the apps for conversion API. You can choose some, do it manually. But I would say if your like tech stack is somewhere on that screen, I would say click that and just follow the directions. And if you're still having trouble, I would say just hire someone to set it up, because yeah, it is very confusing. I think it's super important if you are spending thousands and thousands of dollars every month on ads and you have multiple different products going. Of course, you want to make sure that if you're investing thousands of dollars each month, you want to make sure that your ads are being tracked at least semi-accurate so you can optimize accurate. But if you're just doing like a simple lead gen ad campaign and one purchase campaign each month, like that's super basic. And I feel like you'd be fine with just like regular tracking. What I tell my clients to do, because even some of these like third-party tracking softwares that you can sign up for, like Hiro, Segmetrics, Triple Whale, they're expensive. And if you're not generating enough revenue to cover the ad spend and the software that tracks everything and also be profitable, then that may not be the best situation for you. So if you fall into that category, I tell my clients to just separate your funnels from organic and ads. That way you have a separate form and a landing page for ads, as well as a separate sales page and product for ads. And then in your email marketing software, everyone will be tagged with a paid traffic tag. So that way it's very clear. Oh, this lead came from an ad. Oh, this purchase was definitely from an ad because it was the ad product. So I would say start there, but I don't want people to get discouraged and be like, oh my God, conversion API, I can't even get it set up. It's nice to have when you're spending lots of money, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do have just one more question for you on running ads to cold traffic versus warm traffic. Say you have a lead magnet and you're wanting to get it in front of like more of the people that follow you and you want to get those people on your list. What are your thoughts on that versus running to a cold audience to expand?
I would say do both.
Why not? Do you have any other words of wisdom that you would offer for anyone who's either thinking about running ads or who maybe is just running ads and not getting the results that they're looking for?
I would say don't hesitate to reach out. It could be to me, somebody else you follow on the feed. I definitely probably give away too much strategy in the DMs. So probably like a word vomit from me. Yeah, don't hesitate to reach out because there is so many like moving parts and pieces with just setting up an ad campaign. And sometimes it's nice to have a peace of mind of, oh, okay, like it is set up right. Okay, yeah. I am doing things right. So yeah.
Yeah, I think out of all of the things that I've experimented with in my business, ads is like an entirely new skill set that I think it's like really important to either learn from or outsource to someone who knows really what they're doing. It's not just your time, it's also your money on the line. I've really had 99% of my clients, 99% of my growth have been from organic strategies, but right. I have used ads to supercharge certain launches or certain things. And so I love all the advice you gave today. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing. Where can my listeners go to find out more about you? Or if they want to dive into your world in terms of ad strategy, where's the best place to do that?
Yeah. Okay. So we already mentioned YouTube. Definitely go there. There's a bunch of links in the description for my free lead magnet, the Proven Pixel Permit. There is a bunch of tutorials linked in there, but those will help get you started. Some of them are on YouTube, but I've added a couple additional bonus ones that you won't find on YouTube. And there's a checklist involved. And then you also get a list of vetted audiences to set up for your own business. And then there's a list for coaches and there's another list for health and fitness professionals. So I've vetted the audiences for you already. So I feel like I've done a lot of the work. Now you just have to set it up. So there's a Proven Pixel Permit. And then we talked about the YouTube channel, Instagram. My handle's the same, Litchfield Media, same as Threads.
Thank you again, Melissa. It was so great chatting with you.
Thanks for having me.